Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. We start things off here with Marco's money play.
It's going to my man Shorts. Six catches for 105 yards and a TD. He gets busy, man. I tell you, that's another bright spot on the offense. I should have said that earlier. You know, I said anger, but I'll have to go with Shorts. So I'm going to have to retract that one.
All right, I'll tell you this too. If there's any consolation, if you're a guy who likes your, you know, if you're like me, you love to make a prediction and have a hold up. Right? That was my guy. I told you. I've been saying how good a guy I think he can play.
You should have red spots on your back from how hard you're patting yourself.
I know.
On the back.
Oh, I'm going to break my arm and pat myself on the back. I'm just saying. I've seen it coming. You got to have something to cling on in a year like this, right?
He's been doing an outstanding job. Yep. He's been the guy this season.
No doubt about it. All right. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Jacksonville Circle of Care. The only injury of note was with Gabbert with the shoulder. And, again, we mentioned that he said after the ball game that he's going to try to give it a go in 9 days now against the Houston Texans. And we'll see. He's played through the shoulder injury, but obviously got dumped on it again in this ball game. So that's the most significant injury that came out of the ball game. I think the only injury that was reported for the Jaguars.
I didn't see much.
In the game. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. If you'd like to join the conversation, you may do so by calling 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can also tweet to me, if you'd like, at Culpepper. If you want to get something off your chest, I'm here to try to help you get you through it. Try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, only $10.99. You get a heaping helping of barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread and cornbread, all for only $10.99. Sonny's the first name in barbecue. We're back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. The Jaguars Rewards Program now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program. But the Rewards Program is now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Get a great deal on an F-150. From Ford with your month during truck month. Fumble during truck month at your local Southern Ford dealer.
Did Culpepper make a mistake?
I did. That was my first mistake I've made all minute. All right, let's take some calls. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Pat in Palm Coast, who's up first here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Pat, turn that radio down for me.
So who do we have on the draft board for?
Turn that radio down for me there, partner.
Yeah, turn that down. Who's on our draft board for next year and that we can count on probably being our next misdraft?
I don't know.
I'm banning draft talk until at least after Thanksgiving because I don't want to use it all up now.
There's really no highly...
Well, this is not a good year, by the way. Pat, thanks for the call.
This is
not a good year to have the number one pick if you need a quarterback.
Well, yeah, not if you need a quarterback. But I don't know. You know, I was looking and, you know, there's some guys that are just under the radar. I mean, it's kind of like a Andy Dalton type. You know, they're just under the radar but good players. You know, I think the kid at Kansas State is a good player. He's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has a demeanor, I think, that's going to suit the type of player in the NFL. They're talking about the passing game for Indiana. I don't know that kid's name, but they have one of the better passing games. So you have some decent quarterbacks. They're not getting as much press as the guys that went by. But we're seeing that it's not the guys that get all the press. Look at our guy out there in Seattle. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing an outstanding job.
By the way, Colin Klein's getting a lot of press because he's right now probably the Heisman frontrunner.
Yeah, you know, with him. But I think there are some guys that, you know, if you're truly in, you know, really looking at this thing, there are a couple that can do well. But this, I think, is more of a defensive thing this year.
I do, too. And frankly, I think the best defensive prospect isn't even going to be in the draft. I think Jadeveon Clowney at South Carolina is the guy. I mean, Jarvis Jones is going to be a guy who can make some plays for you.
And the kid out in Notre Dame.
And the again, I'm saying I'm banning draft talk, but here I am. there's a defensive tackle at Utah that is getting rave reviews. I'm still kind of holding it up to.
Yeah, and I think it's going to, you know, it depends on if the kid out in Notre Dame comes out. They got those big 3-4 defensive linemen. You got one at sitting up in Notre Dame. Georgia's got the big guy in the middle. Yeah. I think it's just a wealth of that out there also.
I've just done a terrible job of enforcing my own ban on draft talk till after Thanksgiving.
We're not talking about Jaguars drafting. We're talking about players in the draft.
We're talking about college players.
That's a little, right. You know,
thank you for bailing me out on that one, Marco. Chris in Tallahassee, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right.
Doing good, Chris.
All right. So, I mean, I love the Jags. I do. I have season tickets. And, you know, I'm originally from the Jacksonville area, and I live in Tallahassee now. I make the trek every week. This week, I couldn't make it. I had a bunch of work going on this week, but I gave my tickets away to a friend. And, you know, for me, it doesn't really matter. We could be 0-16 every year, and I'll still come to every single game. But, for one, what do we tell the fans what can we tell them to be hopeful for? There's only, 20,000 of me out there.
Yeah.
What do we tell the people that are over it? Are sick of the same thing, sick of the same boring offense that goes 3-and-out 50% of the time? And, what do we do to keep people coming besides the people like me who are going to come anyways?
Yeah, the Bud Zone looked like it was a place to be today.
The Bud Zone was off the chain. But, you know, look.
The Bud Light Party Zone.
But you got to rate.
Hey, that's always going to be the ticket there. But for the people, we got to fill the seats, and you have people leaving. When I come to the games, if we're losing 50-0, I'm in my seats till the end of the game.
Chris, listen. Here's the answer to your question. There are different categories of fans. All right, there are fans like you who are going to be there, and you go not because of what's happened in the past, but what you hope will happen this week. Right? I mean, it's the experience. It's the place. If the Jaguars are playing a game, you got to be there. I mean, with this week as an exception, obviously. But, you're a loyalist. That's one class of fan. They're those who are Jaguars fans, but they want to be there for the wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't win last week, or if they haven't been winning for the last several weeks, it's harder to convince those people to come. I mean, you can start breaking people down. Some people go there for the social aspect of it. Some people go there because I want to use it as a business tool. And you want to, schmooze clients. There's a lot of reasons to come to the Jaguars game. But if you're somebody who only wants to come for a win, then it's a tougher sell.
Yeah.
But again, there's a lot of ways to enjoy a Jaguars game. You can hope for the win. But if you're saying, what hope is there about winning? Yeah, it's hard to find it because this is just not a very good team right now.
But, what you got to recognize also as a Jag, when you look at the team, you're missing Greg Jones, your best fullback. You're missing Maurice Jones-Drew, one of the best running backs in the league. You're missing your best linebacker, best defensive player. You're missing your starting safety. You're missing your playmaking cornerback. And it's a first-year head coach. So you got some things that you can say, okay, these are things that have disrupted the team this year. Would it be in the first season of a change in the philosophy and things that next season? I think that the expectations this season, they haven't played as good as I would have anticipated. I think a lot of the injuries have a lot to do with that. But I didn't have any high expectations in this season other than just seeing them build to be prepared for the next year.
You want to see that like we talked about before,
growth.
The growth chart continue to go.
And in the last
couple of weeks, it's not.
It hasn't, but, like I said, you're missing some integral pieces, and as it pertains to that, you look at the Indianapolis Colts, they have, you got Reggie Wayne out there. That's a big deal to help him out there. That's a guy with Super Bowl rings that understands what it takes to win games consistently. You got Freeney. He's out there. You got Bethea. You got these guys that are still – in there, they're participating on the sideline now. That actually, that shows that, hey guys, this is how you get what we have—a ring.
Yep.
But you don't have that here with the Jaguars or the guys that can help are sitting on the sideline, not able to help at all.
Well, hey, before y'all move on to the next caller, can I interject real quick and give a little PR for the Jags for free?
All right, go for it.
This is what I want to say to everybody, and you know, this is the way I feel. You know, this is a rough season. I mean, if you look at it from now, we're 1-8. This may end up being the worst season in history, even counting the inaugural season. But you know what? You know what this is going to do is the people who hang on tough, the people who stick with them. When we do turn it around, it's going to be that much more sweet when we start winning again. So, I mean, we just got to stick with it. And, you know, even though it's going to – hopefully we turn it around this year, but if we don't and we keep playing the way we are, it's going to suck a little bit. But, you know, when we stick with it in a year, 2 years, 3 years, whenever we turn it around, it's going to be good times. And the people who stuck with it will feel even much more better about that. So everybody out there who's sad today and the last 6 weeks, you know, just stick with it and let's go forward and just stick with them. And Jacksonville's our team, so let's go for it.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Robert in Arlington, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, Cole. Hey, Marco. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing well.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to find out, what do you guys think Gene Smith's what do you think he has any chances of coming actually back next year, or Shad Khan firing him?
It's hard to say because we haven't really had a situation to see how what kind of decision-making process and how Shad Khan handles those kind of things. If you want to look into some of the comments that he made, I think it's clear that he's a very process-oriented guy, that you know you expect that out of an engineer. He's a guy who is going to, you know, he believes in this constant process improvement, you know, lean leadership kind of thing. He believes in that. And he also said, you know, right now, by the way, I know that the outcry from fans is to fire the general manager. By the way, I don't think it's going to happen until after, you know, the evaluation's got to go all the way through the season before anything is decided. But that being said, one of the things I found interesting in Khan's comments was that he's been on the treadmill before of hiring and firing people. And that's not he hasn't found that to be you know the way that it works. Make sure the process is in place in the right way. Make sure that they have everything they need to do their job, and then make sure you have the right people. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we're all kind of we knew what Wayne Weaver how he approached things like this. He was a very loyal guy, and he was not going to make a knee jerk reaction. Sometimes too loyal, if putting that in quotes. We'll see what happens here. Wait and see how the rest of the season plays out before we have all the information, before the owner has all the information.
And I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to just listen for the answer. I wanted to find out if we actually let go of Gene Smith, who do you guys think would actually be a good replacement?
I wouldn't even get into that at this point. I don't think it does any good to do that. Not only, you know, do 99% of the people listening not know one scout from another or one, you know, assistant GM from another or anything else, quite honestly, that's dancing on somebody's grave, and, you know, the guy's not dead. All right, so I don't even want to do that at this point. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Danny in Fernandina, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Danny, what's going on?
D.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I sit in the north end zone. That touchdown Andrew Luck got, it wasn't a touchdown. I can tell you straight up. I got something else to say about just being a fan and going through the process. I've been a fan from the beginning. I didn't get season tickets till 2000. But I, for myself, I think what happened is, as a fan, you go through, it's a process. And, of course, in the beginning, we won. We got spoiled. And when we would lose a game, like any time after that, I would get furious. And then I had a hard time accepting it. And now it's to the point where, you know, I go, I tailgate, I have fun with my friends, and we have fun. You know, I've had season tickets, like I say, since 2000, and all my buddies sit around me. Tonight, for the first time, we wore bags on our head, and everybody around us wanted to take pictures. And our bag said this: we were conned into buying tickets to watch this malarkey. And NFL Network, everybody loved it. I mean, we were, I don't feel like, you know, a couple people got mad about it, but I feel like I've gained that right through my loyalty. And if I'm going to be there through the good times, I'll be through the bad times. We're just having fun, you know. So we go, we have our fun. Does it hurt to lose? Yeah, I take it hard, but it's a lot better now when you can just smile and say, hey, you know what, it is what it is, and let's move on.
Yeah, and I'll also say this, Danny, it's a whole lot better than not having a team at all.
That's for sure.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong. Have a good time with it. I mean, you spend your money, you might as well have a good time.
Yep. Danny, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. You could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. We'll take time out. More calls, tweets when we come back. You can call 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351, or you can tweet to me at Cole Pepper. Back after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Isleborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. Hey, pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Ronald is in North Carolina. Ronald, where in North Carolina are you?
Well, I'm located in Wingate University.
Wingate, sure. Yeah, I've been to Wingate. Did a JU Wingate game there once upon a time.
Okay.
What's up, Ronald?
What's on your mind?
Well, first I was calling to talk about the offense. Mm-hmm. I just feel we just need to go in a new direction with quarterback. I mean, because, like, to me, Blaine Gabbert never came into the draft with first round tangibles of a quarterback, of what a quarterback should have.
Such as?
He had bad feet work. He struggled with pocket presence. He doesn't set his feet. And he always dumps the ball off real quick. He doesn't get tough foot for the ropes.
Yeah, I that's the biggest one to me. I mean, I think his footwork you can work on, and they have. And I think his footwork is better now than it was when he was a rookie, when he was coming out. It's the timing. It's the timing in how long he holds on to the football. He has got to give those routes a little longer to develop. And before you start delivering, rather than just dumping it off right away.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people already want to put Justin Blackmon down, but I just feel we just need someone who can give him the ball.
Well, listen, Blackman's not doing, is not living up to his draft stock right now either.
Yeah.
Whereas you got a guy like Cecil Shorts, and that shows you that, listen, having spent a year in the league and go through the off-season program, that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the steps forward that Shorts took. And I'm not saying that Blackman's a bust or anything else, but,
you got one more year to prove he's not.
You got to do something, right? You got to show something.
I think he should be better next season. And, you figure with Blaine, I just don't see a lot of things that aren't coachable, instinctive things. You figure I think he can throw, but the things that you – can't coach.
Yeah, when you side by side Luck with Gabbert today, you see why Luck was the number one overall pick, and you can see as a rookie how much further along he is.
Just instinctive things that he does. I mean, he throws balls out there. He notices things that you don't have to tell him to do. Where it just seems that Blaine just like I said, his experience prior to coming into the NFL may have a factor in that, but I just see some of the intangible, instinctive things that you don't see, that you see with other quarterbacks you don't see with Blaine.
And again, we'll see as the season plays out. Again, you want to see him be better at the end of the season, noticeably, than he is in midseason, and you want him to be better midseason than he was at the beginning of the season. And I think he's shown it's been improvement, but it's not been dramatic improvement. You want to see dramatic improvement by the time the season's come to a close.
Yeah, because you look around the league, there's just too many guys that are young, that are doing well, that have pretty much the same type of talent to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to see. Definitely got seven more games left. See if we can get something better. See something a little better.
Yeah. All right. 800-355-NFL1. Ronald, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. From Wingate up there in North Carolina. 355-6351. Adam is at the beach. He's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Adam, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing tonight?
Hey there, Adam.
Good. Guys, I just want to say, you know, I'm 28 years old. I've had season tickets for 8 years since I've pretty much been old enough to have them. Got married this year, turned my wife, who's from Detroit, and I can honestly say she repped Lions gear last week. But, you know, I just want to tell you guys, man, I mean, it's so dejecting. I mean, we've been so bad for so long that I honestly want to know if you guys could play Shot Con this year, what would your move be? I mean, where would you guys go in this? How do you honestly feel about, you know, the direction of the franchise? You know, I mean, would you blow it up this year? Would you give Shot Con or Gene Smith one more year? Would you give Blaine another year? Or if we really do get the number one or number two pick, kind of where would you guys go with this? I mean, really, where do you feel the direction of the franchise is? Because I feel like we just don't know. You know, we feel like we keep hearing these things that Shot Con keeps saying, you know, we need to go. We're going to evaluate at the end of the year and kind of see what's going on.
Which, by the way, is a completely reasonable and logical and, I think, correct way to approach it.
And I agree with that. I really do. And I agree with that. But at the same time, I mean, he kind of got...
But at the same time, tell me what's going to happen right now.
Well, he got Gene Smith kind of thrust onto him because Wayne extended him into the end of the year, and so he went with it. But what's he supposed to do, you know? And kind of he does have to make a decision at the end of this year. But if you were him, where would you really go? Honestly, would you keep Gene Smith and give him another chance, or do you just feel like it needs to be blown up and we need to start all over again? Because I mean, guys, we're bad. I mean, we're really bad. And I'll take it off the air, but I really want to know how you guys feel about it.
All right, thanks for the call. Ultimately, here's what it comes down to. If you look and if you decide that you think that Gene Smith is the right guy, not necessarily, you know, you take aside the record of the team, if you think, and this is when Con bought the team and was talking about hiring a coach, he said there are two criteria that you need to fit in order to be somebody he wants to hire: competency for the job, and you know, a person you like, because you don't want somebody who is good at their job who you can't stand, and you don't want to lose with somebody who you really like, right? So in other words, you want to have somebody who is competent with their job. Part of this too is going to be how do you evaluate a personnel man? Do you strictly say what's the team's record? Do you say, is he picking the right guys? Is he getting value out of the pick? Is he picking guys who have ability? Do you say the guys he picked, how do they do, you know, numbers wise? There are a lot of different ways you can break down how to evaluate it. Again, you've got to wait till the season plays out till you have, and especially when you're talking about a guy who's owned this team now, you know, for half a year, right? Everybody wants something to happen now to change this, and I get that. It's not going to happen now. It may happen at the end of the year. We'll see how it plays out. And also remember this, and I mentioned this last week. I can't remember if it was on Jaguars Reporters or last game. We've been living in this culture for so long with the Jaguars that the most important thing is to sell out to avoid the blackouts next week. Well, that's not the way things have changed here, I can tell you, at the stadium in terms of the overall picture. It's not just how do we sell the tickets for the next game. It's how do we sell more season tickets next year. It's how do you better engage with the fans. How do you give the fans a better game day experience? How do you make this a part of a cross-section of Jacksonville and a representation of the city? And they've been doing a lot of those things, from the fan experience stuff, the military appreciation. I think the Jaguars have done a very good job for years of incorporating the military. I think they're taking it to the next level this year. And I think that, you know, they'll continue to do that and mesh those two, you know, vital parts of Jacksonville together at the same time. I don't know. Listen, if the team finishes, you know, with the, you know, 1-2-3 wins, something like that, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to be a hard sell to keep the status quo. You know, what those changes are, I don't know right now. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. If the team finishes with 5 or 6 wins and they get hot at the end of the year, you know, then it changes things entirely.
But realistically, you know, if you've been a season ticket holder, you have a right to be a little upset right now.
I totally get it.
You're looking at a team that over in the past 10 years, has only had two playoff appearances. Last 5 years, no winning record. I mean, it's tough to continue to support. You want something to happen. It's due. They deserve to have something happen right now. I definitely understand the owner's perspective, but at the same time, he's a businessman, and you know you don't want to lose your customers, so you got to do something.
Yeah, well,
immediately.
Again, you know what? You know what brings customers in a hurry?
Hey, winning, baby. The product, a good product.
Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just $1 at McDonald's any day, any size, any time. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Back with more calls after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Michael, who is driving home from the game to Orlando. Michael, drive safely.
I will try. How are you guys tonight?
Doing all right.
I'm doing right, Michael.
Glad to hear it. Well, hey, I'll try and keep this brief. First, I just want to say I was a fan at 6 years old when the announcers were getting a team, and I remember watching the first game versus the Houston Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
It's been more than 10 years since I missed the article on the website. Like, I am what you would call a diehard fan, and it was awesome to come up and see my team play tonight, despite the loss and such. But that said, moving forward, I kind of want to talk a little bit about the play calling. It seemed to me that last week and this week, the only time we were really able to get any sort of plays going, aside from a couple plays and shorts downfield, it was all either like quick outs or sideline throws. I know Laurent had like 9 catches tonight,
yeah,
most of them on that exact same play. And, you know, to me, it was kind of like in 07 when all Garrard did was throw slants. You know, eventually the defense started creeping up, and, you know, we got a pick six off that.
Yeah, and you've got to make sure that you don't go back to the well too often. And obviously that's what happened today. I will also say, if you're going to throw the ball 48 or 50 times, you're not going to throw the ball downfield 48 or 50 times. You do need to utilize the short passing game. And
how many throws were there tonight? Was it that many?
Let's see.
There were 47
between the two. Let me pull up the numbers just to
40.
Be sure here. Gabbard had 31. Henny had 16, so 47.
There we go.
So again, you know, it's not like running Oregon's offense, but you know, when you go no huddle and you're going to throw the ball that many times, you almost want to replace the running game in some regards with the short passing game. And by the way, in the Jaguars' greatest offensive years, Mark Brunell would take the snap, turn and throw it to Jimmy Smith right away, and let Jimmy try to do something with it. And he may only gain 5 or 6 or 7 yards, or he may only gain 3 or 4 yards. But then that one time, he's going to slip a tackle and off he goes.
And then Jimmy has some breakaway speed,
yes,
though. And
exactly.
He has somebody he can actually take him deep. So playing off, they were legitimately worried about his downfield ability.
So you don't think it's a problem that they're throwing that same play too much?
Well, I mean, you have to be judicious with it. But again, I don't think it's – again, just if you're throwing it early in the down sequence and you wind – because what you want to wind up with this offense, with this quarterback in particular, young quarterback, you want to get to the point where you're 2nd and 5, 3rd and 2. Right? You don't want to be in a position where you're 3rd and 7, 3rd and 12, that sort of thing. The Jaguars have had too many 3rd and longs this year.
And a lot of it is, you know,
you don't want 3rd and 25.
Yeah, and a lot of it is you have to take what the defense is giving you. I mean, if they're playing 7 yards off the ball, why, you know, you just don't have a deep throw to make because the defender is defending that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving you that 3-yard pass now. Hopefully you get enough space, you get to 5 or 7, or you turn into a big play. A lot of, like I said, sometimes you come to the line, this is what's called. But, hey, the check is such that, you know, they're defending what we want. You got to do something different.
Fair enough. Can I ask one more question now?
Yeah, go for it.
Appreciate it. I was sitting in section 243. It was the complete opposite side of the field. I couldn't get the best idea of it, but it looked like on that when they gave Luck that touchdown that didn't actually happen, it looked to me like Mike Mularkey was walking down the field, and he waited until after the ball was snapped and then threw down the challenge flag.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you exactly what happened there.
Okay.
What he threw was his headset and his notes, his play card. He cannot throw the challenge flag on a play that results in a scoring play. Remember, we saw that in the preseason where somebody threw the challenge flag. One of the other opposing coaches threw the challenge flag and got a penalty, a delay of game penalty as a result of that. That play, because it's a scoring play, every scoring play is reviewed up in the booth. And so what Mularkey was upset about was that there didn't seem to be any kind of pause in the action to go up and actually review that thing. And he can't throw the challenge flag. And yet you have obviously very close play, which may or may not have been. If there's room between the ball and the plane of the goal line, you could slide a piece of paper through it, and if not, it's that thin, it's that close. It certainly appeared to me like a play that needed to have a little more review done upstairs.
Got it. Okay. See, it was just very difficult to see from there, so I was just like, are you serious?
And remember, that's a new rule that this year with all the scoring plays being reviewed.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for giving me airtime. I really appreciate it. Hey, go Jags.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1. Steven's on the east side and is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing great. All right, you guys. Hey, listen, I just like to take my hat off to the owner on what he said. I agree with him, really, because, I like his gesture of just taking his time and, seeing everything through, and everybody just holding off, and give us a chance, because, everybody going to do the very best they can. But I agree with him. I like his output.
Yeah, he's not gonna go crazy and make a snap decision based on emotion. Like, yeah, he's gonna be very.
I think that was real neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted
to
say.
Good.
And let's look at him and take our head off of him.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean again. Some of the changes that have happened here with this franchise since Shad Khan purchased them are very obvious. Things like the locker room, or like adding more vice president level people to handle things like fan experience and so forth. Those they've been very good moves. We'll see what happens when this season comes to an end. Jim on the south side is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
I've got a comment to make and then a question.
All right.
First of all, I've been a season ticket holder from day one, so I've seen all the teams and all the coaches and all the players. And as far as fan experience is concerned, I think I'd sit in a wooden bleacher without a seat back and no cup holders if we were back to winning football games.
Sure, yeah. Well, there are two different things, two different aspects to it. The fan experience and then what happens on the field. You have a lot more control with the fan experience side of things, so try to make that as good as you can. That mean and then when the team's winning, everybody is completely happy, and there's no reason not to be here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that leads into my second question. My second question is the fan experience and hiring coaches and general managers and things of that nature are things that money dictates more or less, but the intangible, the coaching of the players, is not something that money can buy. And my question is, assuming that our roster remains the same for the duration of the season, mm-hmm. and assuming that coaching makes a difference, what specific position on this team do you think needs the greatest improvement in order for the Jaguars to salvage this season?
Most improvement in terms of how it's being coached, or what? I'm not sure exactly what you're driving at.
The quality of the play. Assuming coaching would make a difference.
Leaving out whether coaching can make it the kind of difference that you want, I think that the pass rush needs to be better. I think coverage needs to be better, and I think
the linebacker play. I mean, it's not good.
But when you, I don't disagree with you on that, Marco. But when you start throwing coaching, it's like, okay, well.
Well, disregard the coaching.
Okay. I would say pass rush. you know, another cover corner. You know, some explosiveness in the return game. Linebacker play on either side of Puzlesny, you know, with some consistency, and obviously you'd like to see the quarterback play a lot better.
Right, but if you could pick one, what is the greatest area of need for our team right now, so that we could perhaps win one or two games before the season's over?
Get the
one position.
I mean, really, you know, it's the guys that are injured that are making a big difference. I mean, I really think that if you look at some of the teams that are really doing well, let's just say, okay, the Atlanta Falcons, they are right now, you know, undefeated. Take Turner out of the game. Take, you know, whoever the next running back is that's back there that's blocking for him, take him out of the game. Take, matter of fact, their best linebacker, Witherspoon, was out. You take him on out. And take out Asante Samuels. All of a sudden now you see a different type of team. You know what I mean? And matter of fact, we take out another person because you got another secondary, the guy in safety. Mm-hmm. So you got three guys on defense that are integral parts that you're taking out. And a big part of, you know, what you do on it. Now you got to put it all on your quarterback. Now, granted, they do have more talent in other areas because, you know, they're in their positions. But I don't think they're a stronger team because now that, you know, you're down, your depth has changed.
Yeah. So. And it's, again, I'll say pass rush. If that you want an area, give me pass rush because – too many third down conversions, too many plays down the field. We saw it again tonight with Andrew Luck. Too much time in the pocket. When you only have 10 sacks, you know, through nine games, you got to get after that quarterback. You know, that's a big part of it for me.
It's a lot of areas that, you know, that the talent could be used. I mean, I'm not sure if I understand the whole philosophy of trying to get into the draft, but this is a time where I don't know if you have high enough draft picks that you can go after that can make a difference. As soon as a difference needs to be made. This is one of those situations. Remember back when San Francisco, they picked up Deion Sanders, Richard Dent, Chris Dolman, Ricky Jackson, and then they went straight to the Super Bowl.
Yep. They all. Who was their quarterback at that point?
Well, you had Steve Young,
yeah,
but I mean,
helped.
Who were the
wide receivers?
But I mean, but you look at what they did. They still brought in, you know, players that completely. I mean, they had those guys before.
But that doesn't always work. See, also, you know, the Lakers of Karl Malone and Gary Payton. I mean, again, look at the Eagles. You know,
you
got to have the right blend of guys.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, you look at what they had. Like I said, you got Richard Dent, Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
You got Deion Sanders, a Super Bowl winner. You're talking about Charles Mann, Super Bowl winner. That's what they added, and that's what I'm saying. As far as the Jags, go out, get veteran guys that bring Super Bowl championship football experience to the locker room.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, we'll take time out, come back with the carry of the day, plus a few more calls, and we'll wrap things up. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a reminder, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. This is the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Back here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. Carry the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Marco, what do you have for the carry of the day?
With no Greg Jones, it's not going to a running back because, you know, he paves the way for those running backs to clear, you know, get that done. I'm going to give it to Mr. Gabbert on a 10-yard scramble for a first down.
Might I call it a scamper?
Hey, he got it done. Kept the chains moving.
All right, that's the carry of the day.
Yeah. Move those chains. Move the chains.
Do it more often. All right, let's wrap things up. One last call here. Richard is in Oklahoma, and Richard, you will wrap things up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Thank you very much. I'm an old man trying to hang on to my youth.
where in Oklahoma, by the way, Richard?
I'm in Aldous, Oklahoma, it's a little southwest corner. About halfway middle of Tornado Alley, whatever you want.
Gotcha.
To call
it. Yeah, got a brother in OKC, so just asking. All right.
Yeah, great. No, that'd be fun. But no, I want to ask if I'm trying to hang on my youth or make a comparison here.
All right.
Because I'm an old man. Remember when you went to high school? You were a sophomore in high school, and the senior class graduated, and the football team sucked for 3 years. And then by the time you got to senior, the guys had played together for 3 years, and then they went to the state playoff. Is that kind of what we're seeing? I know it's professional football, but is there a comparison there?
In other words, you're saying this is a young group and they need to play together and grow together to do that? Maybe.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the hope. You'd love to see that happen. What's frustrating is when you see a team like Indianapolis turn it around so quickly. When they have a lot of young guys. You see a team like Cincinnati turn it around so quick.
I hate to paraphrase it, but they got lucky.
Yeah, no, they did. No doubt about it. I mean, and listen, again, Andrew Luck is one of those, potentially quarterback era defining kind of players. Manning and Brady were those. Rodgers is that type of a player. Elway. Marino,
Bledsoe
those types.
Never got hurt. Brady would have never got a shot.
Yeah, and yet it turned out all right for him. So, I see what you're saying, Richard, and I think that that would be the hope that that those young guys grow together. But in the NFL, it's not so much about the sophomore class rising up. It's you have to have a blend. You have to have a mix of guys. Guys who are veterans, you have to have some guys who are young and up and coming, and you have to have some guys who are in the prime of their careers. And one of the many problems that the Jaguars have right now is, they went years and years missing on first round picks so dramatically that those guys, you don't have those guys who would be the veterans and the leaders, the guys who'd been through the battles, who have it would be 6, 7, 8, 9 year veterans. Marco, you've talked about this.
Yeah.
You don't have those guys here because they didn't pick the right players, guys who couldn't hang around. So, Richard, thank you for the call, and I don't think you have to worry about the tornadoes at this point in time in Oklahoma, unless it's a lot warmer there than it is here. All right, that'll wrap things up for us here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jaguars lose it 27-10. Reminder to everybody, enjoy the weekend. I'll be enjoying things on the ship tomorrow to watch the basketball game between Florida and Georgetown. Then Saturday I'll have JU football as well. So got a big weekend here in Jacksonville. Mike Mularkey Show Monday night, 6 o'clock. Brian Sexton has the head coach. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King on Tuesday with John Usher joining me. And then John and Brian, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman stir things up on Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. Live at Latitude 30 on Wednesday from 6 until 8. The Jaguars fall to 1-8 on the season. Things continue to go poorly at home. And as we start looking forward to the second half of the season, as it continues, the Jaguars have a lot of work to do. Good news is they do have a few extra days to get it done. For Marco Coleman, for Ed Rocco, for Lindo Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguar Central.